So the first of the readings this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 10, which is on page 690 of your Bibles. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. Now, the second of the readings is on page 967, and it's from Matthew 3, verses 1 to 12. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork in his hand, he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And the third of the readings is from page 1139 in the Bibles, and this is Romans 15, verses 4 to 13. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praise of your name." Again it says, "Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the people extol him." And again Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope." May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to church. It is good to see you all again. And if you are visiting us today, a very, very special welcome to you. Please make yourself known to us afterwards and stay for morning tea if you're able to do so. We continue today our sermon series just over through Advent and Christmas. And inside your bulletin, you should have a little sermon summary and a sermon outline. And I ask you to turn to that now as a means of just helping you to remember what we've learnt, but also just to follow along with us as here. There's a little Bible study on the other side and a prayer that we'll pray at the end that you can take away and do during the week, either on your own or in your group if they're still meeting. The title of this sermon I've given is Waiting Patiently. And I want to begin by first asking you, what preparations have you made for Christmas already? What things, I want you to think about, have you started doing? What things may you have stopped doing in order to prepare or give yourself more time to deal with the things of preparing for Christmas? Are you doing things this year a little differently? Or are you sticking with the same routine you've always had? Well done. Well, let me tell you a little bit about the Rectory family. Last Sunday afternoon, Rosemary and I put up the Christmas tree and the decorations. It's a week late, but they're up. Jonathan and I had some fun putting Christmas lights through the pine tree out the front of the rectory. We didn't disturb the little bird's nest that's in there, and we didn't fall over. And we're going to put more lights in there because they're not as bright accordingly. We're going to do some more lighting up there. We've gone to the markets to stock up for Christmas lunch. We've gone shopping. We've attended a couple of Christmas parties, and we've been invited out for dinner. There have been some firsts also, things we've not done before. 2 weeks ago, we held our end-of-year play group with Christmas theme. Mums and dads and grandparents and preschoolers and babies all gathered too, and it was a great day. Last week, I attended the Christmas assembly at Russell Lee Public School. I visited the local churches and the clergy with Christmas greetings, and I attended Abbotsford Public School at their end-of-year presentation. Very glad that I wore a suit and looked smart because I was asked to hand out a very important award on the day. And this afternoon, we're providing a Christmas service with carols at Wynwood Manor. The week goes on, and this week, attending the kindergarten's end-of-year celebrations Wednesday and Friday. And for something different at home this year, we're having all the family over on Christmas, not on Christmas Day, but on Boxing Day, not Christmas Day. Little changes, but not big changes. Now, Rosemary might strongly disagree because she does most of the planning, the buying of the presents, the decorating and the cooking. What preparations have you made for Christmas? It's Advent. It's Advent. And that's the time leading up to Christmas when we, being Christians, give a lot of thought and a lot of effort to remembering Christ and reminding others. But we also remember in Advent that as sure as Christ came into the world the first time, he's going to come again. And we were reminded last week, for those who were with us, that despite what we may experience in the world, questions, disbelief, doubts, discouragement, disinterest, nothing is impossible for God. We are to look up, we are to be ready, and we are to be prepared. It's one of the reasons the Bible gives for us to not neglect to meet together, but to do so often, as we wait patiently, from Hebrews 10:25. Let's not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let's encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You may remember, those who were with us last week, that our situation is not too dissimilar to that of Israel's, God's people, the Jews, at the end of the Old Testament. They were waiting for Christ too, but not for his second coming, but for his first. They had a number of promises in God's word, like those we heard last week, promises to hold on to as they waited. Another was the reading that Stuart read to us this morning that we heard from Isaiah, a strange image about the coming of Jesus. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. I want you to picture that strange image. Picture it in your mind. A tree has been chopped down to a stump. It looks dead, but you're told a shoot will grow out of it, that life is still in the stump. Take heart. Now, come to think of it, the chopping down of a tree to a stump and shoot growing out of it isn't really that strange. Earlier in the year, my brother and I pruned quite heavily the poinsettia tree in the chook pen in our backyard. Rosemary thought we killed it. But look at it now. Wow, isn't it great? Nothing is impossible. Here we go. What makes Isaiah's image strange is that the stump is given a person's name. It's given the name Jesse. And the shoot that will grow into a branch, we know it's Jesus. Who was Jesse? Why refer to Jesus as a shoot, a branch, a growing out of him? What are we meant to know? For those who don't know, Jesse was the father of King David. King David and Jesse, they lived about 3,000 years ago. God promised that from the family of Jesse and King David, his son, his promised perfect king would come. And he would come and he would rule. And he would rule perfectly. The Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Saviour. He will come and he will rule, and he will rule perfectly and wonderfully. And from what we read in the Bible, though, hardly any of the kings of Israel that followed David showed any promise, far from it, of being the actual perfect king. Instead, all the possible candidates didn't even improve over the years. They got worse. There seemed to be no life in the promise of Isaiah. Yet nothing is impossible with God. They were to take heart and they were to wait. The Christ would come and the Christ would rule, but appear as something as fragile as a small shoot growing out from a stump, thought dead and gone. And when we think of it, that too is strange about the image, to use it to describe Jesus, God's son, the perfect king, fragile and small, small and vulnerable, as a shoot on the side of a stump that appears dead. The unexpected helps us to keep trusting God at his word. God likes to surprise us. It's not a very triumphant, powerful image, is it? A little branch coming out of the side of a dead-looking stump, fragile and vulnerable. But God likes to surprise us. And the unexpected helps us to keep trusting God at his word and not in our own understanding or expectations. And that's another aspect of Advent, what we remember at this time. Coming to terms with the profound knowledge that God chose to keep his promise to come to earth and come to us in such an unexpected way as a human baby, fragile, and rescue the world, to demonstrate that he rules with all the authority of God, triumphant and powerful, bringing justice and peace. So 2,000 years ago, God kept his promise and Jesus came. God's king, God's perfect king and kingdom was revealed. Though his authority and rule had always been and always will be, then the people saw. They saw in the person of our Lord Jesus God's rule, God's kingdom. In his life they saw it, in his work they saw it, and by the things he taught and the things that he did, things only God could and can do, the people saw it and experienced it. I remember a friend saying to me once, "I wish I could see God." And I said, "We've said, you know, if we lived 2,000 years ago, we would have seen God. We would have been in his presence and experiencing that 2,000 years ago in Jesus." But even though Jesus was seen, not all believed. But those who did, the Apostle Paul encouraged them to continue to believe, to have hope, and to look forward to the day when Jesus will come again. And they will not only know it to be true then and see it, but they will experience it in all its fullness. And so the apostle says, "Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. And sing praises to him, all you peoples. For the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him." And friends, that's what we are to continue to do too, as we wait patiently, isn't it? To rejoice, to praise, and to continue to hope in him, for Jesus rules, and he will rule over all in the way and the way that we long for and are looking forward to. He will keep that promise. Our Bible reading from Matthew reminded us that the people in preparation for Christ's coming, that first coming, they made preparations. And in preparation for Christ's first coming, they repented. They changed the way they thought about God and the way they were living. They stopped doing bad and they started doing good. They were believing and not doubting. And they showed that by being baptized. And it set an example for others. We wait, not for Christ to come a first time, but a second time. I wonder if we knew that Jesus was coming next week, what preparations, what changes, if any, do you think we would make? He could come this week. We don't know. But what we do know is that he will come one day. And being Christians, being right with God, we don't need to be reconverted, as if we can slip in and out of salvation and think we have to do it all over again every time we fail to be the kind of people God wants people what we ought to be. Being right with God has been achieved for us by Jesus, by God himself coming into the world in Christ, living the life we were meant to live, perfect, without failure, on our behalf, culminating in his death on the cross and rising from the dead and returning to heaven. We've accepted that with thanks. It's the reason why we celebrate Christmas. We don't need to be reconverted, rebaptized, start all over again. But what we are to do is to pray, and to pray for our sanctification. That God helps us to be more and more like Jesus. That God helps us to do that. And that we, being obedient to his help, do so in preparation for his coming. Where we know we're not living as God would want us to repent. To change the way we're thinking about God, whatever reasons we might have for so doing what we're doing or not doing, understand the reasons why we should change, stop doing what is wrong and start doing what is right, believing and not doubting, and showing that not by being baptized again, but by a life displaying good works. Good works that God is preparing for you in advance to do. It will give us that peace of mind if we do this, knowing we have prepared when Christ comes. Knowing that we are now preparing well for Christ's return, whenever that may be. And it will also set an example for others and encourage one another as we wait for that day when Christ returns. The Apostle Peter writes, "Live such good lives among those that don't believe, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." But let me say, if you are someone who knows that they are not right with God, or you're unsure, getting right with God would be something you should do. Definitely need to do. Come and see me. Have a talk with me. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus rules, and he will rule. And we look forward to that day when he comes again, and we shall experience all that we heard read there, what we long for under the rule of King Jesus, we as his people will receive. What preparations have we made for Christmas? What things have we started doing? What things have we stopped doing? What we should be saying is this question, and asking ourselves this morning: what preparations have we made? What preparations are we making for Christ's second coming as we wait for him patiently? Pray for our sanctification. Pray for your sanctification. That each day, pray, "God, please make me more and more like Jesus." Well, let me pray. Father God, you who sent your messengers and prophets to prepare the way for your Son before him, sanctify us wholly, that in the day of his return we may be found as ones prepared through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns and rules with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.